Acts chapter 28. To start. Over the last little while, I guess it's been about 6 months or so, we've been looking at the life of Paul the Apostle, and we've seen a number of things throughout that time. Today, I wanted to close that series and on the life of Paul the Apostle. I call this the final years. These are some of the later occurrences in the life of Paul and the writing of the epistles. And Acts 28, we'll start there in the last part there in verse 30. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." Well, Paul was imprisoned at Rome, and again, a lot of what I'm going to share today, some of it's historical, some of it we're going to see is in the church epistles. Some of it is not so conclusive, but it is the best that we know from what it's written in the church epistles as to what happened to Paul at that time. We know there from Acts 28, he was imprisoned in Rome for a couple of years. That we know. While there are mentions of people who were with him. And you'll see this shortly. Luke, Timothy, Tychicus, Demas, Mark, Aristarchus, Epaphras, Epaphroditus, Onesimus. Some of these men are mentioned in the various epistles. The five prison, so-called prison epistles or prison letters that Paul the Apostle wrote were Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and 2 Timothy. Those are the epistles that we know were written from prison. We'll start with Philemon. If you go to the book of Philemon, and I'm not going to say a chapter because there's only one. Philemon, verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So at this time, he was in prison. And Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Now, I mentioned to you when we were doing the work on Paul in Caesarea and on the way to Rome, when he was in Jerusalem and Caesarea, that there was some thinking that when he was in Caesarea that some of these epistles might have been written, but as you'll see today, the evidence is overwhelming that these epistles were written from Rome. And there is some possibility, but you'll see some of the mentions in the epistles themselves. That's the greater possibility they wrote these from Rome. Verse 2, "And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus," keep that name in mind, he'll show up again, "our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house." So this is Paul writing from prison. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." So Paul is writing this to a beloved brother, Philemon. Verse 8, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged." So he's older now, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus." So he's writing to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, "which whom I have begotten in my bond." So apparently he met Onesimus while he was in prison. And so he's writing a letter to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, as you'll see, who was a servant of Philemon at one point. Verse 11, "which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me." So verse 12, "whom I have sent again," so he's sending Onesimus back, "thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels," just like you would receive me, he says, "whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel," because I could have used his help. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. In other words, I'm not going to take your servant away from you. I would only do that if you were willing to have him work with me in the bonds of the gospel. Verse 15, but for perhaps he therefore departed for a season. So apparently Onesimus had run away from Philemon. And so he departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, before he was a servant, but above a servant, a beloved brother, beloved specially to me. So he had gotten born again while in Rome with Paul the Apostle. And now he's telling Philemon, now you're getting him back, not just as a servant, but as a brother forever. But how much more, verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. What a great loving letter to a brother in Christ that Paul by revelation wrote here. He goes, you know, anything wrong, I will pay if I'll take care of it. You see, again, as we've seen Paul the Apostle throughout his journeys and his life, you see, when we've mentioned before, that one of the great themes is his great love for the brethren, his great love for the church. You see it again in this wonderful epistle. Verse 19, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand, I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how much thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. See, in other words, I mean, he was in the body because of the work of Paul the Apostle. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. See, he knew this man. He knew that he would go above and beyond what he was even asking him to do. But withal, prepare for me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. That's interesting. So at this point in Paul's imprisonment in Rome, he's fully expecting that he is going to be released. So you see, you know, he says to Philemon, prepare me a place, I'm going to come and visit you. So you see, his expectancy at this point in his imprisonment is that he will be released. There salute thee Epaphras. So he's writing them, he's saluting from Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, was with him. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. So remember this now, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, they're all with him. And he's sending a letter to Philemon, and he's also sending greetings from them. So you see, everything at this point in his imprisonment, these men are working with him. And he is expecting to be released. In Colossians chapter 4. So Onesimus was a believer, probably from Colossae, as we'll see. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. Paul sent a letter to Philemon with Tychicus and Onesimus, along with the epistle to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. So that letter he wrote, he also sent along the epistle to the Colossians with Tychicus and Onesimus, who is one of you. So he's from that area. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you have received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. So again, the same time period, these men are working with him, and he writes the letter to Philemon, and then he also sends along the epistle to the Colossians. Epaphras, verse 12, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you. So as one of you, so he's obviously from that area of Colossae, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are at Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved brothers, beloved physician, and Demas, see, all the same men that are with him, again, greet the Colossians, and so forth, salute the brethren, and so forth. He says this, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, the church, and those areas that were surrounding Colossae. You see, so these epistles were written around the same time, the same men are working with him, he's sending greetings, and he sent them with Tychicus, along with Onesimus from most likely Rome, is where it seems to be, and we'll see more evidence of that. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So he was in prison, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Colossians was most likely written from Rome, because if he had been in Caesarea when he said this, he wouldn't be looking for an open door, an opening out, because when he was in Caesarea, if you will remember, Jesus, the Lord had told him that you are going to Rome. Right? So that was not going to happen when he was back there, but it would have been possible when he was in Rome, and that's exactly what he was saying, that he was soon going to be released. He thought he was going to be released, but back when he was in Caesarea, that was not the case. Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. The epistle to the Ephesians was also sent by Tychicus, probably along with the same time as Colossians, but let's just read chapter 6, verse 21. But that ye also may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So again, you see how Tychicus was very instrumental in the delivery of some of the later epistles of Paul the Apostle. Now, there is, again, I'm going to give you a little bit of history just to put things together a little bit. There's very strong evidence that the epistle to the Ephesians was most likely written to the Laodicean church and not to the church at Ephesus. Now, again, this is historical. Nothing in the scriptures we can say definitively. And the evidence has to do with the fact that the epistles were circulated amongst the churches, and sometimes, like when it says at Ephesus in chapter 1 to the Ephesians, that might have been inserted, because when that was sent to Ephesus, they inserted it there, because there are some versions that don't have that in there, right? So they're not sure about that. But so it's a possibility. In fact, in Colossians chapter 4, there's a verse 16, there was a mention made to an epistle to the Laodiceans, which we don't have. Right, so that could have been the epistle to the Ephesians. Not sure. But we just do know that Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon were written around the same time. At some point, and this is where, you know, we have to rely on history a little bit, but at some point in Paul's imprisonment, the emperor Nero remarried, and he married a woman named Poppaea, who was a Jewish princess. She had Nero's previous wife, Octavia, killed. Even though Nero had divorced her, that wasn't enough for Poppaea. She had to have her killed. She used her influence over Nero to assist the Jews, and Paul would have been seen as an antagonist because he was preaching against the law. So he was not in favor with Poppaea. But we just read in Philemon places he was expecting to be released. But we're going to see that there's very good evidence that he was released for a period of time after his first imprisonment, but then he was imprisoned again. And we're going to see when he was imprisoned again, that tone that he had, that he was eventually going to be released, changes. But let's look at Philippians first, chapter 1. And I, you know, this sharing is a little bit more scattered, but you know, we're going to look at what we know. But I find it very interesting. You know, God gives us certain information, and that's what we know. Philippians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, or the praetorium, and in all other places. And in chapter 4 of the same book, in verse 22, it says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. You see, it's the emphasis is that this was written from Rome, because he was with the Praetorian Guard. It was the emperor's household. And so there were obviously believers amongst the emperor's household. I wonder how they became believers. You know, we just read in Acts 28, Paul preached and taught the word of God for 2 years in his own hired house. Philippians chapter 1, let's go back to chapter 1 quickly, verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your estate. So you see, Timothy was with him. He was going to send Timothy to them, the Philippians. And again, another one of the men that was with him. But we'll see later that Timothy wasn't with him anymore. So that was a later imprisonment. In chapter 2, verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. You see, again, he mentions it in Philemon. He mentions it in Colossians. He mentions it in Ephesians. He felt that he was going to be released and that he was going to see them in these epistles. In chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor. And when you read these records, you know, he's writing this epistle and he's going to send them somebody. You know, we're just talking about people flying around the world. It wasn't like he was going to send this guy and then he was going to appear in the Philippians the next day. It could have been 6 months later because they had to get on a ship, find the right ship to get there, had to be the right time of year, and they had to go there. So when he writes this, this is most likely written during those first 2 years because you'll see here, Epaphroditus had to go there, they had to come back and bring news, and to get all that done would have taken well over a year. It's not just, you know, like, you know, people fly so-and-so and be there next day. So you got to keep that in your mind. I sent Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. So he was taking care of him. For he longed after you at all and was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on me, on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service to me. A little dig there, right? And so to get this information there and then back to him, it would have taken a bit of time. So, you know, it's interesting to note that Paul was, as we've seen, Paul's manner throughout his life was what? To preach the gospel, to make it known. So when he was in prison for those 2 years in Rome, he was preaching the gospel. Yet there were guards there. There were people who were listening to him. You know, the guards chained to Paul must have had heard the glad tidings on a very personal level, that he was ministering to them. That's why he's able to say, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. You know, what a refreshing this must have been amidst what we looked at before is the amazing moral depravity, obscenity, and monstrous vices that characterized Nero's reign. You know, Coney Barenhausen make the statement, history has few strange contrasts than when it shows us Paul preaching Christ under the walls of Nero's palace. What a great contrast of what was going on in Nero's world. And here's this man making known the gospel. It makes you feel maybe a little bit more humble that sometimes we tend to complain about things that are very serious, but not so serious as the time of Nero and Paul was there making known the gospel. Even though he was in prison. Remember he wrote that the word of God was not bound, even though he was bound. Because also the epistles to Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, Hebrews 13. Just a few more here to look at, and as far as we know, that's all we have. Hebrews chapter 13. Now, Hebrews is contested as to whether Paul wrote it or not, but if he did write it, let's just look at a verse in Hebrews 13. The general tone of the epistle is as if Paul wrote it, but there's no authorship, so... But let's just look at this verse in Hebrews 13, verse 23. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Sounds very much plausible that it was Paul who wrote this. But, you know, he's mentioning Timothy, and it appears that he had been released at some point, as it is also written from Italy, because he's saying, I will see you shortly with him. You see, so it seems that Paul was released. A very well-known historical disciple of Paul, named by the name of Clemens, you might have heard of him, wrote that Paul had preached the gospel to the extremity of the West before he was killed. This would mean Spain and the western extremity of the empire. Now, Paul had indicated his desire to do this. Look at Romans 15. Verse 24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are Jerusalem. It pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles had been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them carnal things. Wherein therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. You see, years before, he had made his desire known that he would go there, and Clemens wrote that Paul indeed had visited there. Another historian, Eusebius, says that Paul defended himself successfully, this is history now, and was released and went forth again to preach the gospel. He afterwards came back to Rome and was imprisoned and killed under Nero. The historian Chrysostom says that Paul undoubtedly went to Spain after his release from Rome. And St. Jerome, another historian, also indicates the same. So if you look at all these histories, there is more evidence to support the release of Paul than there is against it. So Paul had some opportunity, looks like, to preach again. Some of the locations mentioned in the later epistles, Timothy, Titus, the pastoral epistles, Ephesus, Crete, Macedonia, Miletus, Nicopolis. Some of these aren't even mentioned in the other journeys. So when he mentions those, you see there's a very possibility that he had the ability to travel once again, though, you know, the best we know is what it says here. Well, he was imprisoned again, and it is during this time that he most likely wrote 2 Timothy. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you're going to see a change in the tone from the previous epistles that we read, the sections we read about him wanting to be released, prepare a place for me, I will see you shortly. That is no longer the tone here in this epistle. It's sad to read, but this is what's recorded. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Let's go back to verse 6. For I am now ready. Now let's go to 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present. Now, remember Demas? Now, when he mentioned him back in the other epistles, he was working with him, wasn't he?
Yes.
And he was blessed to report. Now, here at this point, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, there is a temptation right there that we should take heed to. You know, your love for the present world, and we looked at before Paul, how he had told them that he was not a part of the world was dead to him, and he was dead to the world. And so everything that he did from that point of view. He preached the gospel, made it known. There was nothing the world held for him that was ever going to take him away from that. Nothing the world could offer him. And here, Demas, on the other side, forsook him, having loved the present world. The world all now held more for him than the ministry. And not only Demas. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, it's a really good thing for caution for us to remember what the world can do to your confidence and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It can kill it if you let it. Having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. These were men that worked with him that now had departed. In fact, Paul wrote an epistle to Titus. Yet at this time in his life, he's departed from him. See, very different tone here, isn't there, than in the other epistles. Only Luke is with me. See, in those epistles, they were all with him, and Luke as well. But Luke was still with him. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And this is the same Mark, John Mark, that who had accompanied Paul. If you remember the first journey, we looked at Paul and Barnabas when they went on their first journey, and Mark had left them and gone back to Jerusalem. Now he's profitable. You see, he came back to me for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. There, Tychicus still working with him. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work, of whom be thou aware, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. You see, it's a very different situation, isn't it, now, than it was before. Now back to verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Previously, he has been talking about how prepare room for me, I will visit you, but now he knows that he's going to die. Very different. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. During this last time of Paul, it looks like, and let's look at the last verse we'll look at here. He says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Previously, Timothy had been with him. It looks like Timothy is not with him at this time, but he had asked Timothy to come to him. And we have no record, no evidence if Timothy ever joined him again before he was killed. We don't know. That's the last that we have. So the entire epistle, you know, and during this time, it was probably during this time when he was in prison that Onesiphorus sought him out, because he was one of those men that wasn't ashamed, he said, of my chain. Many were ashamed of the fact that Paul was in prison. And he signals Onesiphorus out, saying he wasn't ashamed of my chain. And he came and visited him and ministered to him while he was in prison. It was most likely during this time. See, the epistle of 2 Timothy carries with it a very dire and solemn tone. At a time when the church was in its demise, Paul knew he was going to die, and we're not going to read it today, but if you read that epistle, despite the dire and solemn tone of that epistle, his instructions to young Timothy are very clear. Remember what got you here, the scriptures that made you whole since you were a young man. You take heed to the word of God, stick to it, because they're the only thing that will prepare you for any eventuality in life. That's what 1 Timothy says. 2 Timothy says, preach the word, make it known. Always preach, whether it's convenient or not. This is Paul, knowing he's going to die. This is what he's telling Timothy. I know I'm going to, you preach the word when it's, doesn't matter if it's convenient. You preach the word. You study the word and you study it so you are never ashamed of your workmanship of God's word before God. These are the things that Paul wrote to Timothy in his last days. Nero died in June of 68 AD, and it is universally accepted that Paul died under Nero, so most likely sometime earlier that year. Historians Clement, Caius, Tertullian, Eusebius, and Jerome record that Paul was beheaded somewhere along the road to Ostia, just outside Rome. The great Basilica of St. Paul now stands outside the walls of Rome on the road to Ostia in commemoration of this death. The gate is called the Gate of St. Paul to this day. So that brings us to the end of our look at Paul the Apostle for now. As we have considered his life, we have seen his early years as a young man studying under Gamaliel to become a Pharisee of the Pharisees, his persecution of the church, forcing believers to blaspheme and deny their faith, the approval of the death sentence for many, the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ himself as Paul traveled to Damascus, where he is called to be an apostle and is told of his ministry to the nations, during which the Lord would appear to ensure his deliverance. His early years of growth and the new direction of being all things to all, so that he could by any means save some. His journeys in the Levant as the gospel continued to be made known to both Judeans and Gentiles, and the word of God prevailed. The struggles of the first century church as it wrestled with the inclusion of the Gentiles, and the central role that Paul played in making known God's will on this matter. His continued recognition of being dead to the world and the world being dead to him as he grew in his awareness of his real life being hid with Christ in God. His embracing of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus as he put away those things that were behind and looked ahead to those things that were before and taught the church to do the same. The constant attempts of the adversary's kingdom as it tried at every turn to obstruct Paul's ministry, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often, stripes 5 times, 3 times beaten with rods, multiple shipwrecks, and the one in Acts 26 later on, not included in that list because he wrote Corinthians before that even happened. A day and night in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. All which he declared to be a light affliction when compared with the eternal weight of glory that was to come. His writing of the all truth of the 7 church epistles, which is the living and vital foundation of the church of the body as it moves steadily in the direction of all things in heaven and earth being gathered together under Christ. His imprisonment in Caesarea and Rome, during which he declared that since his calling he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but spent his life declaring to both small and great exactly what the prophets and Moses did say should come. His declaration by revelation that he had finished his course, that he had kept the faith as he had been called to do. May we take full advantage of all that the Apostle Paul's life has made available to the Christian believer.